This is Dateline West Virginia. I'm Beth Voorhees. In West Virginia news, the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington, D.C. have had an impact on West Virginia. Federal buildings were closed along with the state capitol complex. Because the state house is closed, the legislature's special session has been suspended until tomorrow. Several private schools and county courthouses shut down early today, and Mountaineer Racetrack and Gaming Resort in Chester has canceled live racing tonight. The West Virginia Conference has canceled all athletic activities scheduled for today. Churches throughout the state are holding special services tonight. All air traffic is grounded, and Greyhound has halted bus service along much of the East Coast, including to Charleston. Governor Wise will hold a news conference this evening at 5:45 at the Governor's Mansion. A West Virginia University official and his wife are among the survivors of today's terrorist attacks. Tom Witt, the director of WVU's Bureau for Business and Economic Research, was in his hotel room between the World Trade Center towers when two planes crashed into the building this morning. His hotel was later destroyed when the towers collapsed. Professor Witt described the scene this afternoon. Tom, take us through it from the very beginning this morning. What happened?
I'm attending the National Association for Business Economists annual meeting here in Manhattan. It was taking place at the World Trade Center Marriott Hotel. This morning, we had our breakfast meeting with the president of Morgan Stanley International, talking to the assembled corporate and academic economists. And about a little bit before 9 o'clock, we heard a muffled explosion, and then the chandeliers started tingling, and then we realized that something happened, and almost simultaneously everyone stood up and moved out of the ballroom and out into the street. At that point, we turned, because the World Trade Center Marriott Hotel is located between Tower 1 and Tower 2 of the World Trade Center, looked up and saw that there had been an explosion, which subsequently, I guess, is an airplane that had flown into that tower. I immediately called my office. My wife was in the hotel somewhere. I had no idea where she was, hoping that we would eventually be reunited. And we haven't yet, but I've learned that she is safe, and I'll get to that. Mm-hmm. I called my office, and I was on the phone, turned around, and I literally saw the second plane plow into the other tower. At that point, I hung up. I mean, I was in shock, as well as everyone else around me. I recall one of my neighbors, Herb Morrison, who was the voice of the Hindenburg disaster at New Jersey, who said, "Oh, the humanity."
I've been thinking of that quote all day.
And I thought of it myself, particularly when you saw people jumping from the 80th and 90th floor of the building to their death.
You saw that, Tom?
Yes. I mean, what I saw was something that, you know, it was just unbelievable. We immediately, a bunch of us who were at the conference, started our way up, basically marching up Manhattan. We went up, first of all, to the Morgan Stanley building, and now we're at Bank One's Midtown headquarters, sort of hunkered down. But the experience was unbelievable.
So after you left the Marriott Hotel, you just started walking down the street?
We were walking down the street in coats and ties, and the women in high heels heading north. And we looked around on occasion, and we saw one tower go down to its base, and then the second tower. And we immediately knew that the World Trade Center, Marriott Hotel, where we had been having our conference, was probably no longer there. And, of course, in my situation, not knowing where my wife was, I've been on pins and needles until just recently I got a call from my office who indicated that she had called from the Manhattan Bridge. Actually, another person had called on her behalf, and she was on her way over to Brooklyn to be in a Red Cross center that had been set up. But there's just an unbelievable experience I would never want to go through again.
Have you seen your wife now?
No, I haven't, and I haven't even talked to her. But she has called my office and said that she's safe, which was a great relief to me. And I've got to connect up with her here very shortly.
So we have no idea where she was at the time of the explosions and how she got out.
Oh, hold on just a second.
Sure.
Where are you going? Oh, can I go with you? Oh, I'm going to have to go because we're going to the Bank of Montreal where we're going to spend the night on their fine couches.
Tom Witt, an extraordinary sight, an extraordinary account of this tragedy and event. We are glad to hear that you are safe, and thank you very, very much for taking some time out to call.
Thanks so much, Beth.
Tom Witt, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Dr. Tom Witt of Morgantown spoke to us from Manhattan. One of the four hijacked planes crashed near the western Pennsylvania town of Somerset, about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. About 45 people were aboard the United Airlines 757, which was en route from Newark to San Francisco. Our Morgantown bureau chief, Jeff Young, is on the phone live from the crash site. Jeff, take us through what you have witnessed today.
Hi, Beth. I'm standing in a cornfield near a coal mine, and somewhere in the ridge just across the road from me is the remains of the plane that went down here. Just to place us on the mental map, we're roughly 70 miles northeast of Morgantown, as you said, roughly 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And the officials here are carefully controlling access that reporters have to the scene, presumably so as to avoid interference with the salvage operation and what we would also presume is a crime investigation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Relying on other media reports throughout the day, it is assumed that what has happened here is this plane was hijacked. It was en route from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco, California, and according to one source, its target after hijacking was Camp David in Maryland.
Has there been anybody to confirm that there at site? Are they our officials briefing reporters at all?
Not yet. We're awaiting a press conference where investigating officials will address some of those questions, I'm sure, after all of the groups of photographers and reporters have been shown the scene sometime this evening. And
Jeff, what kind of area is this? We had heard a report from the Associated Press that this is a very small rural airport that cannot handle a plane the size of a 757.
Indeed. I stopped by the Somerset County Airport to inquire, and they were quite relieved that the plane didn't come down on them, although presumably it would be better there than here. This is an area of cornfields and coal mines, and before I left to drive up here today, while I was still in Morgantown, I remember talking about the day's unbelievable events with friends and colleagues, and something I heard time and again is, thank goodness we live in small-town America where we're not targets for this kind of thing. Well, I'm standing in small-town America, and there's a plane over there with bodies in it. I think it kind of shows how deeply and widely this thing has affected people, no matter where you're. Whether you're urban, rural, here or there, this is something you can't ignore.
From where you're at, Jeff, can you see any kind of rescue operations? Helicopters overhead, emergency medical personnel?
Yeah, there's a constant stream of helicopters, some media, some official, and also this. I'm just across from the entranceway to a surface mine, and that is the main access for the rescue vehicles. I've seen Army National Guard vehicles, rescue vehicles, hazardous material units from all of the surrounding communities, all obviously pitching in for what's probably one of the biggest jobs they've ever had to deal with.
Jeff Young, how long will you stay up there?
Well, I'd like to find out more about what's going on here and also get some eyewitness accounts, and I'll report to you what I learn.
Jeff Young in Somerset, the Pennsylvania town of Somerset, thank you very much for your report.
Thank you.
It's 18 minutes before 5 o'clock. The Eastern Panhandle is home to several federal facilities. Cecilia Mason reports on how they were affected by today's terrorism.
Some federal facilities in Berkeley and Jefferson counties remained open, while others did not. Employees reportedly left the Internal Revenue Service's Martinsburg Computing Center after the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. The nearby Coast Guard Operations Systems Center is operating and keeping its communications lines open. But Ensign William Magnus says special precautions are in place because of the attack. The Berkeley County Center provides communication for ships all over the world. There's also a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms National Identification Center in Berkeley County that traces gun ownership. A spokesman with ATF, Jim Crandall, says that facility remains open and is operating normally. Crandall says ATF stands ready to assist in the federal investigation that will take place. Even the national parks are affected. The superintendent at Harpers Ferry National Historical Park, Don Campbell, says that the park was evacuated and closed. Campbell says all buildings were then searched for suspicious packages and secured. Campbell says some rangers from Harpers Ferry went to Washington to help there.
Right now, I believe four law enforcement personnel went down. We have others that we may send down later.
Campbell says two other National Park Service facilities that are located in Harpers Ferry, the Mather Training Center and the Interpretive Design Center, were also closed with only a skeleton crew remaining. Berkeley County also has a large Veterans Affairs Medical Center. Associate Director Steve Boykin says the hospital is under heightened awareness. All rear entrances are closed, the front gate is manned, and guards are monitoring who comes in and out. The Martinsburg Air National Guard Base is also taking action.
Please announce the following. All members of the West Virginia Air and National Guard Air Medical Evacuation Squadron are to call the base immediately.
West Virginia National Guard spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pitzer says there hasn't been a statewide call, but individual bases can ask their members to call in.
We haven't had a statewide call at this point, but generally folks that are in different command sections around the state, whether it's, as an example, the Martinsburg Air Guard unit, they may elect, as the commander of that base dictates, to call their people in to do an assessment of who's available and who's nearby, and that way they can later, if called upon, they know what they have it readily available.
Pitzer says the Guard is going through what's called force protection postures.
Well, the process, it's an escalation as the threat or the reason dictates. We start off with a certain level of force protection. It may be something as simple as just positively IDing with a photo ID folks that come onto the base or into the buildings. And as the assessment is made by the leadership, we have leadership in Washington and throughout the country as well as our base leadership, they will make an assessment of how much threat there is to their facility and their aircraft or whatever they have on that facility. And they'll raise and lower that force protection posture as needed.
Pitzer says all the guard bases are closed to the public and the airports in Charleston and Martinsburg, like all other U.S. airports, are closed. He says the West Virginia Guard is ready to help if it's called.
Army and Air Guard both are big partners in the what we call the total force in the United States. And if the Air Force or the Army would dictate that they need some kind of asset from us, then that's part of our duty also to provide that.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.
U.S. financial markets could remain closed tomorrow. Individuals close to federal regulators think it's unlikely that trading will resume just a day after terrorist attacks that included New York's financial district. The sources say market officials and regulators plan a conference call at 6 p.m. to make the decision. The markets remain operationally sound, but sources say they were closed for security reasons. Joining us live from Hazlett, Burton, Watson, and Wheeling is Pete Holloway. Hello, Pete.
How are you?
Well, what can you say about a day like today about
Wall
Street?
Well, I can update you. At about 4:30 today, Richard Grasso, who's the head of the New York Stock Exchange, said that the New York Stock Exchange will not open tomorrow, Wednesday.
All right.
I think this has to do primarily with worker access to the New York Stock Exchange. There is a bit of confusion that I've gotten from people. The New York Stock Exchange is an entirely separate building from the World Trade Center and is still standing. Wanted to go over a few things. First of all, the banks are open, or were open till 4 o'clock. The Federal Reserve is working and said that it will be providing liquidity, so the U.S. financial system is working. Trades were settled today via the DTC, the Depository Trust Company. I think a lot of people who are driving who do have brokerage accounts have their assets in book entry. That means they don't have securities in certificate in a piece of paper, but just on a in a record somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There are three main computers that handle this business. They're all tied together, and they each alone can handle it. One's on Wall Street, one is in Brooklyn, and one is somewhere. It's a secret location that no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are undamaged, so anybody that has securities that are in book entry, it should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming up? There's going to be probably some excess volatility when the market does open. This extra day of closing, I think, is good. It's going to allow people to think things over. We did see a pretty good hit on the overseas markets today, while the safe havens, which would be gold and treasuries, were up. Now, I'm not allowed to give specific investment advice over the phone, as we're all well aware, but I do want to tell people, just stick to your investment plans. They're right for you, and we've always recovered. So it's going to be a bit of a ride, but just don't panic and bail out.
And we'll just have to see how the markets react once they reopen, possibly on Wednesday, Pete?
No, on Thursday.
On Thursday.
The market will be closed.
Will be closed tomorrow. So
tomorrow.
It will be Thursday at the earliest before we know any of these numbers and what investors' reaction is going to be to this terrible news.
Well, we will be able to gauge it somewhat because the European markets will be open. And there are, you know, the you can do trading over there in a lot of American stocks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think really the bottom line is that we want to keep everyone in our hearts and prayers.
Pete Holloway, check in with us tomorrow, won't you?
I will.
It's 9 minutes before 5 o'clock. A professor at Davis and Elkins College who teaches a class about terrorism says Americans need to be careful not to overreact to today's attacks. Jane Wood says that doing so would only play into the terrorist hands. Dan Hyman spoke to her and filed this report.
Wood says the first thing West Virginia residents should keep in mind is that this kind of attack is not a threat to the vast majority of places in the country and should be treated accordingly.
For most of the country, panic is silly. I would be panicking if a family member of mine worked at the World Trade Center, but that would be because I would be concerned about them and their safety. Panic is the worst thing for the country. It's the worst thing for the state. It's the worst thing for the individual in a situation like this. That's exactly what they want. It's the whole idea here.
She says one of the main objectives of terrorism is to inspire panic.
Make us pass ridiculously rigid laws that restrict individual rights, freedom of movement, all that sort of thing. That's what this is all about. We have to react as rationally as we can and as calmly as we can.
One danger Wood sees is that these terrorist acts could provoke an attack on our civil rights. She points to what happened to Iranians in the U.S. during the hostage crisis.
There are going to be a lot of angry people, a lot of people who are going to jump to the conclusion instantly that that's who's responsible. They're going to overreact. A lot of people don't think. They just react. We've seen it before. There are a lot of cities in this country with large Arabic communities. And 99% of these people, and in most places 100% of these people, are good law-abiding, decent citizens. They've done nothing. They have nothing to do with this. But it's human nature, I suppose, to act that way.
The World Trade Center has become marked for attack, she says, because of what it represents and because the buildings are easy targets.
It's a symbol of America's economic power, and it's a very vulnerable target. I think we talked earlier about why not the New York Stock Exchange. Well, the New York Stock Exchange isn't as easy to hit. The World Trade Center is like a beacon up there. Hit me, take me down. It's almost like a challenge.
Wood says the way the attacks were carried off says something about the people who planned them.
The buildings that they hit are buildings that you can't get a car bomb into anymore, because they've all got the barriers up now. There's really only one way to go after these places now. That's from the air, and that's what they've done. It takes some planning. Somebody thought this out.
She says this attack demonstrates an impressive level of sophistication.
They've obviously managed to get a hijacker, a suicide bomber, onto an airliner. That's no mean feat these days, not in this country. Anybody who's gone through airport security knows that. So this is a sophisticated thinker. This is also a patient thinker. It takes a while to put a plan like this into operation, get everything in place.
She's a little bit pessimistic about the future, according to Woods. Unfortunately, there are not many good responses to this kind of attack. And she says we will probably be seeing more of them in the future.
Obviously, the people who carried these bombings, or whatever they are, out today, are dead. Who do you strike at? What do you do, go out and arrest or confine every Arab in the country until you can grill them? What do? Go over to the Middle East, the Near East, and try and hit back? That never works. That never works. It's never worked for us. Never will. You can try and resolve the Palestinian-Israeli problem. Good luck. We've been over 50 years trying to do it. Nothing new's coming out.
So what you're saying is we're stuck.
It's a very, very, very difficult situation. And yeah, we are stuck with it. It is our future.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dan Hyman in Elkins.
Dateline West Virginia is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. This program is produced by Greg Collard and directed by Christy George. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting news bureaus comes from Shepherd College, Davis and Elkins College, West Virginia Wesleyan College, and West Virginia University. I'm Beth Voorhees.
Support for Dateline West Virginia is provided by the West Virginia Symphony with Maestro Grant Cooper, featuring music by Rachmaninoff, Respighi, and Lilburn, Saturday, September 15th, 8 p.m. in the Charleston Municipal Auditorium. And by Hazlett, Burt & Watson, a member firm of the New York Stock Exchange, headquartered in West Virginia, serving the state and the Ohio Valley for 118 years.
Michael Feldman, I'm coming back to...